We call these volcanic or extrusive because they are extruding onto the landscape, kind of like toothpaste out of a toothpaste tube. So these are our volcanic rocks. They are eruptive. They are molten material that's going to make it to Earth's surface. And then there are igneous rocks. They're going to cool and crystallize way below the surface. And we don't get to watch this happening. We're going to infer how this happens from different features in our rocks. These rocks are called plutonic or intrusive igneous rocks because they intrude just a little way into the crust and then they cool and crystallize. And so that magma doesn't make it to the surface as a liquid, but over many, many thousands and millions of years, those rocks do end up getting uplifted to Earth's surface through different processes, and we get to see them and understand some of the processes that are happening at great depth. Now, when we look at all of our igneous rocks, we're going to see that there's a fair variety of color. We're going to see white to gray to black to red. Not so much blue and green, but we're going to see this nice variety of shades of grays and reds and pinks. And so these color variations are telling us about the minerals that are in the rock. So if we think back to our felsic and mafic minerals, our felsic minerals tend to be light in color. They're not very dense. And so light-colored igneous rocks are called felsic igneous rocks because they're composed mostly of feldspar and quartz. And, contrary, the darker rocks have abundant iron and magnesium-rich minerals in them, like olivine and pyroxene, and so they are called mafic igneous rocks. And there are, of course, gradations between those. It's never always black and white. And so we're going to see that this range of different compositions, different mixtures of quartz and feldspar, pyroxene, amphibole, these are going to create a wide range of compositions of igneous rocks. And we'll talk about how we get all those different compositions in just a little bit. Now, when we think about the composition of these different rocks, we're also going to think about how that composition is related to processes deep in the interior of the Earth, and how those processes are going to cause those minerals to crystallize at different temperatures and at different rates. And so when we talk about igneous rocks, we're also going to talk about this idea of texture. And texture is going to be related to the size of the crystals that grow as our magma cools. So when we classify an igneous rock, because scientists have to put names on things, that's one of the things that we just have to do is we got to give it a name. So as we go through the three rock groups, we're going to spend time talking about how we classify them and how we come to the names that we do for all the different rocks that are out there. And it's easy to think, well, it's just a rock, just call it a rock. But to a scientist, when we see a granite versus a rhyolite, we see two very different things. And so we need to classify those rocks in order to understand the processes that form them. So when we classify igneous rocks, we're going to use a two-part system. The first thing we're going to do is determine the composition of our rock. So what are the minerals that are in it? And then we're going to think about the texture. Now, when we think about composition, this is based on which minerals form as the magma cools. So magma's losing its heat either to the rocks around it if it's an intrusive, or to the air, to the plants, to the building it ran over if it's a volcanic rock. And as that magma loses its heat and it cools and it crystallizes, we're going to see different minerals form at different temperatures. So, if you think about it, if we have deep down underneath the Earth's surface a chamber full of magma